Part of that process is to discover whether or not they truly have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, whether or not they've been baptized, why they desire to become members of the church. And as we listen to their testimonies, as we examine them as elders, we have the privilege of seeing what God has done in their lives. But you as a congregation haven't had that privilege. So that's why we have services like this, where those that are coming into membership now declare to you how God has worked in their lives and how God can use that to bless you and to encourage you and to strengthen you. This first couple that will be coming tonight, Mike and Melissa McLean, I have gotten to know quite well over the last few months in terms of doing some pre-marriage counseling with them and having married them just 5 weeks ago. I can't believe it's already been 5 weeks. But I've really grown to love Mike and Melissa. They love the Lord, and it's just a joy for me not only to see how God has brought them together, but it's a joy for me to see how the Lord has reached down into each one of their lives and just brought them to Himself, brought them to a passion to live for Him. So we're going to ask them to come and share what God has done in their lives.
I grew up going to church every Sunday. When I was 12, I asked Jesus to come into my life and was baptized. I kept going to church and was going to the youth nights and retreats. The church I was attending started going through some changes. They had taken away the youth worship team, which was one of my favorite activities at the youth nights, and just kept changing from there. I found myself not going out to youth as often, and then not at all. When I got into high school, my life started to take a downward spiral.
And all I wanted was to fit in. I didn't want to be the oddball out, so I started doing things to fit in. I started drinking and swearing. I had so many friends that I couldn't keep track of them all. And life was going great, or so I thought. At the end of every day, I still found myself alone and looking for that something or someone that would fill the hole in my life. I woke up one day and kept asking myself, "What are you doing?" I had realized that the thing that was missing in my life was God. I could feel the Lord calling me back to Himself, and I started going back to church again. By God's grace, I started eliminating things from my life that I knew weren't good for me, and began losing my desire for them. I kept growing from there. I rededicated my life to the Lord a couple years ago, and I have not looked back or even thought of going back to the life I used to live. My life is so much better, and I pray for those who don't know Jesus Christ yet that they will, as life without Him is no life at all. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then to the Greek." This is one of my favorite verses, as it is a reminder for me to not be afraid of being a Christian or to hide who God is, and not to be afraid to pray out loud in public or to share the good news of Jesus Christ so that others might hear and believe. I want to become a member of this church because before I had gone to many different churches and hadn't felt at home. And the first day I walked into this church, it felt like I'd been coming here for years. I feel this is my church family. Will hold me accountable and help me grow further and deeper in my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. I really enjoy the friends and fellowship I have here. Also, thanks. When Mike and I were talking to Pastor Jacques about becoming members, he also asked us if we had been baptized. As you may remember, earlier on I said I was baptized when I was younger, but I want to be baptized again as I feel I didn't really understand what it meant to be a Christian. I stand before you today, a believer and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and being baptized again is something I want to do as a step of obedience and as an outward profession of my faith. Okay. That wasn't me, that was Melissa. But with the two have become one flesh, so I guess she's part of me. Anyway, anyone who doesn't know me, I'm Mike McLean. I have a similar story to Melissa. I've been going to church since I was born. My parents are Christians, and they raised me in a Christian home. But I feel like I made a dedication and a decision when I was about 7 years old. but I don't feel that I fully understood what it meant, and I obviously was too young to count the cost of following Christ. And as I got older, the things of the world looked so appealing and so tempting, and I fell into Satan's trap for many years. I was drinking and partying and doing drugs, and you name it, I was probably doing it. But I felt an emptiness inside me, and a burden, and a sin, like a guilt that was deep inside me for the things I was doing, because I knew I wasn't supposed to be doing it, and it was just an emptiness, like nothing I could do could make me happy, and I was getting more and more unhappy the more and more I was doing. And then I hit a turning point in my life. I came home from work one day, and my mom was packing up her things and moving out. And I hit rock bottom. I went more and more into alcohol and drugs and escape. And I didn't talk to anyone about it. Like, I had my friends, but they're the friends who, they want to be your friend when you're having fun with them. But when you have something you need to talk about, they're just there to make fun of you. So I kept pretty quiet about it. And then we started coming out to Newcastle Fellowship Baptist. And I saw a real difference in the Christians who attend this church. We'd attended many churches before, but I think it was the level of sincerity wasn't there. Like, I think they were people who, they go to church on Sunday and live like the world through the rest of the week. And I came here and I noticed the youth here, the passion they had for Christ, and it was something that I really longed for. It was at that point I started reading my Bible more, try and find what it was that these kids had, that the happiness that they had. I started reading my Bible, and I felt the Lord calling me back to Himself, and I really fully understood what it was to be a Christian, and there was nothing that I had to do, but it was just fully rely on Christ and His sufficiency, and I did that, and I prayed, and He changed my life 180 degrees that day. I don't know the exact day because I was so broken, but I know it's never been the same since, and I've got great friends and a great church family here, and it's a blessing. I want to thank everyone here, and I want to thank Christ and God for drawing me back to Him, and it's incredible. God is good. And reason I want to be baptized tonight. I was baptized when I was 12 years old. But like I said before, I don't believe that I was truly a Christian. Tonight I want to be baptized as an outward display of my profession of Jesus Christ and as a step of obedience in following Him. Thank you, guys.
I don't know if you've noticed this, but everybody coming into membership tonight and those that are being baptized are all under the age of 30. And it's exciting for me to see that because Jesus Christ is doing His work even among young people. It is so exciting to see. And a lot of these young people that are coming into membership in this church are not ashamed to stand up for Jesus Christ. They're standing up for Christ in their schools, in their workplaces, in their universities. They're not ashamed. And they're counting the cost of what it means to follow Christ. And some of them are sharing their faith with others, and people are getting saved. It's exciting for me. I've been pastoring here. I've started my 9th year. And I remember coming and seeing Nathaniel Abbott just as a little boy. Just before the service started tonight, I took out an old bulletin when we were leaving Port Perry and coming down here to Newcastle. And I showed Nathan, I said, "You want to see what you look like when we came to Newcastle, Nathan?" And I showed him this picture of what he looked like and what Josh looked like. And I remember seeing Nathaniel in exactly the same way. And now when I look at Nathaniel, I see a young man. A man who's grown up to really know and love the Lord deeply from his heart. And Nathaniel's going to come and share with us how the Lord has saved him and what God's doing in his life. He's taller than me now. He wasn't taller than me before. But Nathaniel, come and share what God's done in your life.
Hello. I'm Nathaniel Abbott, and I've been attending this church for nearly 20 years now, and I've lived in Newcastle my whole life. When I came to the age of 6, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and the scripture that I base this on is Romans 3:23, that because if you confess with your heart that Jesus is Lord, and you believe, or if you confess with your mouth, sorry, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But even though I accepted Christ, I was still a kid, and I didn't really live for Christ, and didn't understand how important God's word was, and didn't really see how amazing his gift of eternal life is. And when I was 13, I was baptized, and by then I really understood what God had done for me, what Jesus did for me, that he died for me on the cross and rose again. And I knew symbolically that that meant that before I entered the water that I was a sinner, and when I entered the water that I was dying to my sin, and when I rose from the water that I was a new creation in Christ, and that I was saved by his blood. Unfortunately, though, a year later, I went to high school, and there I was influenced by the wrong crowd. I found myself going down a slippery slope, just my own selfishness and disobedience and lusts. But fortunately, I was a child of God, and he threw me a lifeline to carry me back out of that slippery slope I was falling down, and that lifeline came in the form of Pastor Jacques, Mr. Weselius, Miss Betty, the Mill Stream Bible Camp. And through their teachings, it just convicted me of my life of sin that I was living, and just showing me of the guilt of it. And it was just a heavy conviction by the Holy Spirit. And I was a Christian, and I knew that. And I knew what I was doing was not the way a Christian should be. And so I knew it had to change. So it was when I was 15 years old, I was halfway through grade 10, and I was on my way back to the house from dumping compost. Then and there, I decided to rededicate my life to God, and I slowly started to cut things out of my life that weren't that really weren't helping my walk with Christ, and that I was really starting to develop a passion for God and for his word. And that passion led me to take a year at the Word of Life Bible Institute, and there I studied the Bible verse, both in depth and in a broad survey, and it was a very good year for me. And it was that Christmas, it was after the Christmas break, that we were at a missions conference in New York, and that was there I decided to wholly dedicate my life to God. And it's just, I realized at that point that there's no point on living my life for Christ if I'm not going to give my life wholly to him. And the verse that I really like to look to for that is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. For you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. So all those in Christ were bought with a price, which is Jesus' blood. And I just thought that how can we do anything less then give our all to Christ. And how can we glorify God with just a haphazard effort? And I know for myself that I don't always give God my best. I'm a sinner, and I do things wrong all the time. Just ask my sisters. But it truly is my desire to do this, to live for Christ. And I have all of you to remind me now when I'm not living for Christ. So I hope you will accept me for membership at Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church. And thank you.
You know, you thought you know somebody, and then you hear a testimony like that, and you see how the Lord has just kept them. Nathaniel, thank you so much for sharing what God has done in your life. Paul Hughes is the next young man who's going to come and share his testimony. I've only known Paul for a few years. We've known him probably for about 3 or 4 years. He used to come to our house to visit with Nathan, but since we've gotten to know Paul, he's been a real blessing to us. And Paul, come and share what God has done in your life.
Hi, everybody. So I'm pretty straight to the point with my testimony. I came to know Christ, my Lord and Savior, back in 2004, October 27, 2004. And got to give thanks to the Gideons for that fact. Actually, I used to live down in Newcastle, Arthur Street there. It's like the corner house there. It's an old White House. Apparently, there used to be an orchard over there, and that was a guy's field, like, I don't know, 100 years ago or something like that. But, So I went to Newcastle Public School, and it was in grade 5. The guy was a minister, came from the Gideons, and he was handing out Gideon's Bible. And, I have to say I'm so thankful, for that man, because God used him to bring me to Christ. And Nathaniel, don't feel bad. After you took out the compost, man, I gave my heart to Christ in the bathroom, okay? It's the only place you can find, like, real true peace when you want to get away from your family, right? Okay. I went through, I was, like, 12 years old. No, not 12. 11. Okay, no, maybe, like, 10 or 11, right? So things were going good. Then we moved to Oshawa. Then I went to Durham Christian Academy for grade 8. And, there was good times, and then high school came, and, like a lot of young people, right, I fell away, I did some horrible things, hung around with the wrong people, I did lots of cursing and whatnot, I told dirty jokes, and, in the middle of high school, God got my heart again, and, I was baptized here, September 2007, And through high school, God got me through His grace. He brought me back to where I need to be, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm not perfect. Every day it's a struggle, but, every day you just got to keep fighting the fight, right, and move on. So why do I want to become a member, or why do I believe it's important? Well, it's because I guess it's how much I got so much invested in this church. Great family and great family friends, right? You guys are my family in Christ, and it's great to have you guys. And, I love working with the youth services on Friday night. All these guys are on fire for God, and, so many people, they've gone to, Word of Life and whatnot. People just want to get into the ministry, and, I do too. I'm saving up money right now to go to school, and hopefully, God willing, in the next couple of years, I'll make it out to Bible school. And, I just hope you guys will consider me for membership. Thanks.
Well, now we're going to have a young man by the name of Mike Page come up. Let me just say a word or two about Mike. I've just got to say this. I've got two boys, but if we could adopt a third one, we would adopt Mike Page. Mike has been a real precious young man to our family. He's been really close to Josh and Nathan, and he's presently the president of Church on Campus. I've seen this young man grow in the last 2 or 3 years enormously. Mike, you're a blessing to us, and we're looking forward to hear what God's done in your life.
Thank you, Pastor Jock. Let me just, I'll start at the beginning. I'm from a non-Christian family. I'm from a small town, a little over 2 hours away, called Dunnville. It's kind of near Niagara Falls. Nobody's probably heard of it. It's really small. But I grew up in a non-Christian family. I spent my life in the world. I did a lot of terrible things. I used to drink, did some drugs. I used to party pretty hard in high school, like most kids do these days. It's really terrible, the life that is pushed on kids and kids identify with through the media. It definitely took a powerful toll on my life. I did a lot of terrible things. I used to be a little bit of a bully. I used to have a terrible mouth. I see God's hand in it now. And when I was in elementary school, one of my best friends was a Christian. And when we fell apart a little bit in high school, one of my next best friends was also a Christian. And he's actually the guy that invited me out to church. It was in 2005. It was at the end of the summer. I had basically just graduated high school. I was going back for a fifth year. I didn't know what I really wanted to do. So he invited me out to church. Also, a friend of mine was in Bible school at the time. He was speaking. So I essentially just went out to support him, to be a good friend, I guess you could say. And he said some things that struck chords in my heart. And the following week, that same friend asked me to go to Brayside Camp. I don't know if any of you are familiar with it. It's in Paris, Ontario. But they had a Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames play there. And if you haven't seen it, it's a powerful, powerful play about the decisions that we all make in this life and the effects that they have going forward. And I saw this play and I was just so moved, so broken. I knew where I was. I knew what the sin was doing in my life, and I knew exactly what I needed. It's amazing how when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and pulls you, you can't resist Him. And so there was an altar call at the end, and I gave my life to Christ. It was August 29th, 2005. It was definitely the most powerful day of my life. The following year was tremendous growth, and it being in the Word and just being around Christians, my life was radically changing. I was going to a Pentecostal church at that time. I love Pentecostals. They're definitely my brothers and sisters. But when it comes to theological depthness or growth or really growing and understanding the Scriptures, it was a little lax. I didn't grow very much. There wasn't an emphasis on going deeper. The following year, I moved away to Oshawa. I was at Durham College at the time, and I definitely went through some tough times. I didn't get involved in a local fellowship, and I think I paid dearly for that. I got involved with various things. I didn't go back to all my old ways, but there was definitely things in my life that weren't right. I think when I think of the Christian walk, I think of it as a steep hill, a steep, icy hill. And either you're going forwards or you're going backwards. If you're standing still, if you're stagnant, you're going backwards is what you're doing. And I was definitely in that place until I got involved with Campus Church. There was this event they have called Christianity Explored. I don't know if anybody's heard of it, but basically it was the basics of Christianity. And I went out just to see what it was about, and I met some really cool people. And then Campus Church did a debate that year. I'm sure most of you heard about that. It was the Does God Exist debate. And I got really involved with Campus Church. And I met this crazy kid named Josh Nadeau. I can't even describe the relationship we had. It was just crazy. I remember a lot of late night sleepovers talking about some of our struggles in deep theology, and I just grew so much spending time with him. And then I met Dan Goodwin, who also was pouring into my life and who also brought me to this church for the first time, where I got a hug from Mary as I walked in. And I was instantly blessed, and I felt so much love, and it was so amazing coming here for the first time. And I've gotten to know more people, and I've been so built up by this church. As Pastor Jacques shared, I'm now the president of Campus Church. And I mean, this church, me coming to that place, has been a big part of it. I struggled a lot with membership here. I've talked to Pastor Jacques about it. I've talked to Josh and Nathan, Dan, and a few other people about it. Because I always felt like I couldn't give the way I know that a member needs to give to a church. I mean, so often, even among Christian circles today, you see this consumer mindset of church. So what can I get out of this? And I know that's not the call. The call is to give. And I always struggle because I'm a student without a car living in Oshawa, so it sometimes is difficult. But I just came to a point where I realized that I needed to put myself under the authority of a church where I can be truly ministered to, truly discipled to, have an authority to be accountable to. And again, there's just so much love that I want to pour back into this church. I know right now it's very difficult for me, but any way I can, I want to give to this church, and that's why I'm seeking membership. Thank you very much.
It's just amazing to see what God does in people's lives when He gets a hold of someone's heart. Just amazing to see that. This next candidate, Barris Patience, was I've only known for a little while. But just getting to know him over this, I don't even know where he is right now, but I know he's somewhere in here. There he is in the corner. Barris has been a blessing to me, just talking with him. Yeah, I see a depth inside this young man's heart that he does love the Lord deeply. So Barris, come and share what God has done in your life.
Good evening. Well, as you heard, my name is Barris Patience. I'm from Jamaica. I am here, TBS, doing my BTS, Bachelor's in Theological Studies. That's where my passion is. I love theology. But before I get to that, I must tell you where it all began. I got saved in grade 5, about age 11. How did that happen? I grew up with my grand aunt, who was very dedicated, loved her church so much, and she made sure that I was in church every Sunday with her, whether I wanted to or not. It reached the point where I wasn't going because I had to. I was going because I wanted to, because I just enjoyed going to church, being around God's people. But I still did not have it in my mind to make that decision to follow Christ. In grade 5, I had a couple of friends who were Christians, and they kept witnessing to me, telling me about God, telling me that I need to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. And to be honest, it was always convicting. It always convicted me. Every time they would speak to me about it, on my way home, the thought in my mind was, man, if I die right now, without a doubt, I know that I would go to hell. There's no question, there's no doubt in my mind that if I were to die, that would happen. Well, that went on for a while until finally I told them, okay, I'm going to do it. And one Sunday I went to church, and as I was telling Pastor Jacques today, that was the only thing in my mind. I didn't care much about anything else in the church. I just wanted altar call so I could go and give my life to Christ. And as the pastor was through preaching and says, if there's anyone here, I got up immediately, went to the altar. Someone came over and showed me from the scriptures how I can be saved, going through Romans chapter 10. If you believe in Christ, believe what he did, his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, you accept that, you're a sinner, then you will be saved. And at the end of that passage, it's a promise that if you believe these things and if you follow that procedure, it's not an if, it's not a but, you will be saved. And that is a promise. And I believe genuinely that I was saved then. But, big but, As you have heard from most of the testimonies before me, high school came into the picture. The first year was great. Every first year high schooler knew that I was a Christian, and somehow I was okay with it. On the other hand, I wasn't, because I'm like, oh man, this blows everything, because now I can't get to do the things I want to do that are not so godly. So first year high school was great in terms of keeping my spirituality, my closeness, my fellowship with God. But as the years progressed, second year got a bit worse. Third year, I stopped going to church. It's not that I hated church or anything. My grand aunt was still alive, but she broke her hip, so she couldn't go out to church anymore. So that she, even though she kept preaching to me that I should go to church, I just didn't want to go. And when persons from the church would come and visit her, I'd make sure I take myself out of the home so that they don't see me, so that the conviction won't reach my heart and I don't have to get into any debate about why I'm not coming. And I used to find a lot of excuses about not going to church and stuff like that. And that went on for basically the rest of high school until 2004, my grandaunt died. That hit me real hard because she was real close to me. And like Mike early in his testimony, he's like, yeah, you just don't care anymore because someone this close to you passed away. And I mean, what else? I mean, I don't care. I just didn't care. Anything happened to me, I just didn't care, because that's just how I felt. But I started her death. And I always looked at it this way. Her death revived my life, basically, and it really did, because the testimony that she left caused me to want to know, to be closer to God again. I started reading my Bible again, and one night I was on my bed reading the Bible, and I just felt a great desire, a great urge in my heart that you need to rededicate your life to Christ. And I did right then and there. And I've never looked back ever since then. Started going to church regularly. Started becoming so active in church. I mean, everything, the pastors up, who wants to do this? My hand would be the first to go. I'm always volunteering to do things in the church because I just felt that I just loved serving the church. Until apparently God called me to Bible college, which I rejected the call, because even though I love the church, I love serving, I felt that I did not want to be in full-time ministry. I just wanted to play soccer. You make a lot of money and use a lot of that money for the ministry. That was my plan, but that was not God's plan. And finally, I accepted the call to Bible college. I got baptized, by the way, in January 2006. And that's the same year I went off to Bible college. And I just have, and that's one of the reasons, well, that's the main reason why I want to become a member of this church. I just have a great passion about serving, teaching. I really believe I'm called to be a pastor. Wherever God leads, but I love preaching and I love teaching. I love teaching even more than I love preaching, even though I think my calling is a pastor. I just love teaching the Word of God. I love this church because, without a doubt, I've never heard this church preached false doctrine or anything that is questionable ever since I've been here. I know this is a church that stands on the Word of God. And I just love the fellowship, the love that is shown with the members and everyone. I just really, really love that. And I want to be even more involved in the church to serve more. And I know it can be difficult with school, but it's not something that I'm not used to, because I was at school in Jamaica and part of the requirement at school was you had to do ministry work, and I was involved a lot in my church. So I want to serve. I want to be more involved in the church, which is why I want to become a member here. And I'll leave you with this verse from Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Paul, and this is Paul, and I always elaborate so much when I'm using Paul as an example. This is Paul, the great evangelist, the great missionary Paul. And Paul said to the Philippian believers, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." His desire, his heart, was that everything he did, it had to bring glory and honor to God. And I pray, will be my desire until he comes or calls me home. And that should be the desire of every single believer here. And if you're not, your desire should be to want to know him and accept what he did for you on the cross. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Thank you.
Praise God. God is saving people from every nation of the world and bringing them even here to Canada. And thank you so much, Barris, for that. Last two are going to be sisters, Jade and Lily Goodwin. I've known those two little girls since they were in their mother's stomachs. And it's so good to see them coming here and coming into membership. So I'm going to ask Jade to come first, and then I'm going to ask Lily to come right after that.
Possibly more awkward than I thought it would be. Okay. Hello, everyone. So as Pastor Jacques just said, I'm Jade Goodwin, for anyone who doesn't know. I was saved by grace when I was 5 years old after watching an Easter movie with my family. At the end of the movie, it told you that if you wanted to, you could accept Jesus into your heart and have eternal life. At that time in my life, God found me and made me one of his children. In 2002, I got to be baptized. This way I got to publicly show what and whom I believed in. Around the year 2006, my family wound up leaving my church and looking for a new one. My family had been good friends with Pastor Jacques and Tatiana for a long time, and they suggested we come to theirs. So for a few Sunday night services, we went to this church, and then we wound up coming in the morning. I'm going to tell you the truth. At first, I really disliked this church. I had no friends, I didn't always understand the messages, and I felt like people looked at me weird. But regardless, my parents became members, and I became a regular attender of Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church. In the year 2007, I started to feel under attack. My grandfather on my mother's side was dying. He lived out in Victoria, so my mother was out in Victoria for a long time. I shared a lot with my mother, and she was probably, at this point, my only real friend. So her being away took away a large amount of stability in my life. Meanwhile, at school, I was witnessing to a girl named Ivana, who I called my best friend. I vividly remember coming back from a week's visit at Victoria, and a boy, who never really was a good friend of mine, came up to me and told me that while I was away, Ivana had called me fat. I'll be honest, I struggle when it comes to people talking about my appearance because I do not particularly like it. Anyways, I talked to her and she denied ever saying it. Of course, I believed her and continued on my way. It wasn't too long later that my school had a dance. Of course, there was a boy I liked in the school, and it just so happened he liked me. But at the dance, we didn't dance together. So after, while he was at his locker, my best friend came up to him and outrightly said, "Why didn't you dance with Jade?" I bet it was because of her stupid Christian dad. He came to me, I asked her, she denied, I believed her. But after this, she again made an offense, and I knew that if this was the third time I heard something like this, obviously she was talking about me behind my back. The teacher wound up getting involved in the situation. After some discussion, I finally realized what this whole mess was about when Ivana said, "Jade is telling me that everyone is going to hell." I went to explain, but before I could, the teacher looked at me and told me not to talk about God or hell or anything of the sort anymore. So I listened. I'm not much for explaining things in detail, but I was hurt. My grandfather died, my mother was away, my friend was a phony, and everyone at school teased me. So I became a different person, a person who didn't care what people thought. I never witnessed or read my Bible. C.S. Lewis can sum up what I did. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. To love is to be vulnerable. Now, I could lie and say that I was completely miserable while this was happening. I could even say that people at school never changed their opinion on me, but I would be lying. I loved it, and people from school loved me. I didn't like church very much, of course, and at youth I would always wander away from the group. Then came the summer of 2009, where God blessed me with two amazing friends. They managed to break down walls I had, make me read my Bible, and help me understand things better. I can honestly say I don't know what I would do if God had not blessed me with these two wonderful people. Genesis 50:20 states, "You intended this to harm me, but God intended this for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." This hardship may have been meant to harm me, but God can use whatever happens in our life to help us and others. I now find it easier to be able to encourage younger Christians or tell people that when we are persecuted, we will get through it because of what I went through personally. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despaired, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. I cannot say I am perfect or that I am not still trying to work things out and deal with things, but I can honestly say that I love God and am going to try my best for him always. I would like to be a member of Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church because I believe that this church also loves God and tries their best for him. I would like to be a part of that, and I would like to give to this church, not only take, which I feel I can accomplish better by being a member. Thank you.
God uses all kinds of different things to draw us to himself, doesn't he? Even the hard things. Praise God. Lily, come and share what the Lord has done in your life.
Hello, my name is Lily Goodwin. I've been attending NFBC regularly for about 6 years and would like to become a member. I thought the first thing I'd start out with is my testimony. I was about 5 years old. My mom, my sister, and I would always have prayer time before we went to bed. Every once in a while, I would ask my mom the question, "But what if I don't believe?" My mom, of course, initially felt scared, because when I would ask that question, she wondered if what I meant is that I wasn't going to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Well, that happened quite a few times where I would ask that question, "But what if I don't believe?" Then finally, one day, I was sitting on my bed, and I asked that question for a final time. My mom says when I asked her that question this time, God told her to ask me if I wanted to believe. And so she asked me if I wanted to become a Christian, and my answer was yes. Because when I asked that question, "But what if I don't believe?" I was actually just saying I was scared not to believe. That day I became a Christian. I don't remember the exact day, but the moment has never left my heart. Sometimes it's hard when you become a Christian so young, because you are in a Christian home, you have good morals. It isn't like you right away notice a huge difference, because most of the time you don't even truly understand the gravity of the decision you've just made. I didn't understand it then how blessed I am to have such godly parents to lead me in the way of Christ. But boy, I'm sure starting to learn how blessed I am now, because I see in people the difference between a loving home and a non-loving home, and it is drastic. When I was younger, I was always excited to be baptized. I'd really wanted to be baptized for a long time. And every time there was a ceremony, I would always ask. But at that point, my parents wanted to make sure I knew exactly what I was doing and getting baptized. Then August 21st, 2005, 8 years old, I got baptized in my own pool the same day as my nan. I think that it's always important to share your favorite verse when sharing a testimony. Mine is Luke 9:23-25. He said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up the cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit their very self? I love this verse because growing up as a Christian kid, you know there's something different, and you choose whether to ignore it or take a stand. And when I was young, I knew that I needed to share Christ with others because he deserves that, and I needed to be really different. But that became more and more evident to me as I got older. It becomes so clear that everyone is dying and you have the truth. For a while, I hid it, but there came a point in about grade 6, 7-ish when my life took a change. I knew that if I loved people or even cared for them, I'd be telling them about Christ. Those years in various occasions, I tried to be different and tell others about Christ. But one event really stood out for me. For the first time, God made it so clear and evident on a grade 7 trip that I was to share the gospel with one of my friends. When the opportunity presented itself, I was scared, but I knew that I had to share my faith, so I did. I can't even begin to explain or tell you the amazing feeling I had that day and the excitement. I started from that moment really to try even harder to change the way I live, like Luke 9 says. I try to be different and live my life in a way that Jesus is glorified. I hear so many stories of people who wasted their high school years and regret it. So I don't want to be one of those people. I want to be one of those people who can say that they didn't waste those years and have no regrets, because I know that time is of the essence, as James 4:14 states. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Now I want to share with you why I want to become a member. For a time when we first started coming here, I was upset because we left our other church, and I was stubborn about it. But now I know that this very church is where God wants me and my family to be. I would like to become a member of this church because, first off, I love this church. And I'm, again, so blessed to attend it because I know that this church is filled with godly people who want to serve God with all their heart. Also, I know that they have very biblical and godly teaching here. But not only that, I have had the privilege of attending various groups such as Youth Group and STARS, and I've also gone on a missions trip this past summer with this church. I've had fantastic times in these groups. The missions trip was very blessed, and it changed my life, changed the way I looked upon people as a whole. Instead of now looking upon someone as if they're just another person, my immediate thoughts are they need Jesus Christ. I think that the ministries in this church are great, and I feel God is calling me to help out with the church in areas like these ministries that I can't if I'm not a member. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Lily. Praise God. Those are the testimonies of people that are wanting to come into membership tonight, but two of them want to be baptized first. And I just want to read something from Matthew 28 and just share just one or two thoughts very quickly. And then we're going to ask Mike and Melissa to come in to be baptized. It's Matthew 28:16. The Bible says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" And we know that is the Great Commission. Christ has commanded us to go and to make disciples of all nations. I think what he's saying there is that we need to preach the gospel. We need to go out and preach the gospel of Christ and trust that God will save sinners. But when they get saved, the very next thing we need to do is we need to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe in believer's baptism here at Newcastle. We believe that baptism doesn't save you. It doesn't do anything for you. It's simply a reflection of the fact that God himself has justified you through the blood of Jesus Christ. I've often used this illustration. I can take this wedding ring off and leave it here, and I could stand here without a wedding ring. And most of you, well, all of you know that I'm still a married man. The wedding ring doesn't mean I'm married, doesn't mean that I'm not married. If you just met me for the first time, you might say, "Is that guy married? I don't know if he's married, and I don't see a wedding ring on his finger." But if you meet me down the street and you see a wedding ring on my hand, you know that I belong to somebody else. Well, that's what baptism's like. The act of baptism is like a testimony that says that person, that man, that woman, that young person belongs to Jesus Christ. And they're testifying to the whole world that they do belong to Christ. And then we learn in the scripture here that we're to teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Baptism is in the end. Baptism is only the beginning, right? It's the first step of obedience to Christ. And then we need to go forward and teach and grow in grace. So I'm going to ask Mike and Melissa first. Melissa to come forward, and I'm going to make sure that I'm on here. Last week when I used this, I wasn't on. Am I on this time? Yep, I'm on. Good. Melissa, come. There is nothing that Jesus has given us that testifies more clearly of a person's union to Jesus Christ than baptism by immersion. As Melissa and Mike get baptized tonight, they're going to be telling you that they have died with Christ. Their old life has been buried and they've been raised by the power of the Spirit of God to live a new life in Jesus Christ. That's what she's testifying to tonight. She's testifying of the fact that God has saved her. Melissa, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died on the cross for our sins, that He was buried and on the third day He rose again from the dead according to the Scriptures? Have you repented of your sin and trusted Jesus Christ alone to save you? Is it your desire to follow Christ and live according to God's Word and obey His will for the rest of your life? Then upon your profession of faith and in obedience to Christ's commandment, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to ask you the same questions that I asked Melissa. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died on the cross for your sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried and on the third day He rose again from the dead? Have you repented of your sin and trusted Jesus Christ alone to save you?
Yes.
Is it your desire to follow Christ, to take up your cross and follow Him for the rest of your life, obeying God's Word and God's will? Then upon your profession of faith and in obedience to Christ's commandment, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come and lead us in worship.